Today, Dotto got way more hands-on experience with Sparking Zero, which we are talking about, and we're nursing wounds.
You know, Nano, I was about to scream your name again to like bring in the podcast.
Are we changing it up?
Yeah, dude, we're bringing it in on this. You know, let's start calm for once. Because I was literally about to say, Nano, but after you brought it up, what was it, last week's episode of the podcast? You were like, you know, we always scream our names and that's our intro after the intro. I think it's just contrived now. Like, now it feels forced.
You know? Does it?
I don't know, man. I was literally about to do it, and then an image of you in my mind flashed by saying, you know, we always do this, right?
No,
I can't. Nano, I can't do it. I can't do it anymore. I think it's maybe next week. You know, maybe if we're ever back at the old Santa Monica studio.
Santa Monica studio, I felt that.
Who knows when that could happen, you know?
Now, you know what you just did to me? Have you ever watched How I Met Your Mother?
Yeah, I've seen an episode or two.
There's an episode where Barney, you know, always like goes for a high five. But the thing is if you don't high five him back, he has to hold it in the air until you technically high five him back. So damn. Now I'm like in a limbo state of waiting on the answered Nano back to it, which I guess you guys will have to tune back in next week. If it happens. So hit that subscribe button. Follow us on Spotify and Apple Podcasts because you want to hear it too. I know you do.
I was gonna imagine like people say, why do I give a fuck about that? Like care? I genuinely don't care. But maybe they care, Nano.
Nah, they want to hear
about
it.
Sparking Zero.
Sparking,
you know, because I played a ton of that, like you said in the intro before we cut through the TV. Or does the intro? Does the intro happen? Anyway, I played a lot of Sparking Zero. I went to Anime Expo, Nano, purely to record. And play Sparking Zero.
Bro was fiending. He was doing this right here. Every time he would throw his camera on to do the pod, we don't actually see each other when we do this, but still, every time I would see him, he's Sparking
Zero. I was drooling, I was salivating, I was pointing at the camera, which people didn't like, but it was awesome. My Anime Expo experience was basically just playing Sparking Zero, walking around the artist alley a little bit, and then also playing Hunter x Hunter and then Impact, which they would not let anybody record, which is sad because that game was really fun. But Sparking Zero was great.
It?
No, they were. See, Bandai, I'm not even going to. No favoritism, no bias. The Sparking Zero booth was like the best booth. The people working it were really nice. It was really efficient. I will say that. Can I tell you a story, Nino? I tried to stop this.
Story.
Do you remember how when we played Sparking Zero, you hit R1, you go over, you put three people on the enemy team, right?
Yes.
Maximize the game length. They didn't tell people that were playing the demo that they could do that. So one of the reasons the line was running so efficiently is people were just fighting Vegeta and that's it.
Oh,
and
no.
I tried to tell everybody that came up to me in the line, I was like, hey, do you know that if you hit R1, you could fight three people instead of one? Bro, I just want them to have a good time. It made me sad seeing people like, literally, people came up to me. Because, Nano, I'm glad. I'm honestly glad you or like a Rhyme or a Dion didn't go. Because I don't show my face on YouTube, and I still like there was moments where I was basically like Tom Cruise in that line, bro. People would be like, Dotto, like, yo, what up, man? What up? So I imagine if like Rhyme was there, he would have gotten jumped. I feel like that guy is so recognizable, but. Really cool game. A lot of people did not know you could play against three people. That was sad. I did, though, so my demo times were long. I learned a lot, though. A lot of combos.
So did they only let you do one match and then you had to bounce and get back in line?
Yeah, it was one match and then you got back in line. But there was no like limit on
how many times.
Yeah. Yes, I thought I was going to have to pull like a disguise. No, you could. I literally met the same guy. I don't know if he watched Key Moments. But the guy with the Goku black tattoo, he knows who he is. Every time I was in line, he was in line. But every time I saw him, he was like, it's my seventh time today. So he's probably the only guy that played more than me, I think. And I played a lot. I know that because every time you went through the line, Nano, you know this. You got a little medallion that says, I played Sparking Zero.
Yeah, I'm trying to mooch one of those off of you, brother. I'm trying to see if you can part ways, man. You know, I know you're probably attached to all 23 of them, but
It might be like 30. But yeah, no, I can
hook this you guy up with in 30. Down. All right, this Dotto in this this 30 number is crazy, man.
Brother, you're gonna get on me for having a favorite number, huh?
He's and, so attached, number, man.
Do they even know?
30
do they
podcast okay, in 48 so hours, know. Nano? Let's do it, man, bro. We ain't even got that kind of. That's 60 hours of production time, Dotto. We ain't even got that many hours, man.
When we were in the Santa Monica studio recording Key Moments live last time, I told Nano my intention was to get 30 big episodes, bro. Why not 30 episodes? We did not. We got like what, 12?
Yeah, no, we got
we
nine.
fell way short of my goal. Only nine?
Dotto, we reacted to movies, we reacted to TV, we like that. Just the reaction standpoint like takes like hours.
I don't think Key Moments really got the brunt of it. I know my personal channel did. But after that, Key Moments recording was the most burnt out I have ever been in my career, Nana. My whole career. That was the most burnt out I've ever been. You're telling me we got nine podcasts?
I do want to give a preface maybe is the right word I'm looking for that, though. I enjoyed every second of that. Like, the IRL potting is probably some of my favorite just like general content moments I've had all this year. And I feel like we were like really in our bag, like IRL. There's something about just like, I don't know, just being in person like adds like this extra like layer to it. But I'm with you. Like after everything, like when we were potting, like I was having a blast. But when you were gone and we were like done, I was like, I don't want to film anything.
Like, that's exactly what it was like. Like we, and I say this time and time again, I feel more for Nano because he had to exist in that very same room. Which I think I would have just like.
I did text you. And I was like, I'm done. I'm kind of tired.
You're a better man than me because I definitely would have hired like some handyman to like move the setup around because I don't think I could have done it. I don't think I could have ever got back in there and fixed that shit. Like just move the chairs back to where they needed to be. I would have, my channel would have died, bro. Because I got home, different environments, solely separated from the amount of work we did. And I sat down at my computer. There's literally, I'm not even joking. And again, great time. I'm not saying this was a great time. There's a Fighters recording. I was playing Fighters Ranked because I needed a video for the channel. And about halfway through the video, I'm like, I just can't do it. I literally say, I just can't do it today. And I end the recording and I just deleted it, bro, because I was out of it. Again, though, we did nothing but record podcasts. Till 3 a.m., went to sleep, woke up, and recorded podcast till 3 a.m.
Yep.
I do give us credit. You know, I'm not saying, look, is it harder work than physical labor, you know, construction? No. Yes, absolutely. Oh, I see we disagree on the point. That's fine. It's one of the most deadly jobs in America, being a content creator. And, you know, we just fucking woke up and what I was going to say is, like, kudos to us. We talk about, like, when we go on trips and we just happen to line up, like, TwitchCon or something when we were both in that area. We're like, yeah, we're going to do this video. We never do those fucking videos, bro, ever. Maybe one. This time, we did more than we said we were going to.
Yep. Well, minus you saying we were going to do 30, which we did not do because...
Not in volume. We just, in terms of work ethic, like, we didn't knock at 30 for lack of trying is what I said. We fucking tried, bro. Like, that's...
Yes.
We did our best. Just time wasn't on our side.
Nah, we underestimated how much time it was. And I think, yeah, so TwitchCon, fun story there is that, like, me, Dotto, Diddy, and a couple other people were in this, like, house together for TwitchCon. And, like, I had brought so much, an entire suitcase of equipment, because I thought we were going to film all these videos. And I think me, you, and Dino walked away with Budokai videos. Did you ever post that?
Yeah, I did.
Okay, yeah, you did. Because the audio quality was kind of eh. Because again, when you're on a mobile setups suck. I definitely, the TwitchCon taught me a lesson that if I ever want to do something like that, like it's better to like, that's why I thought, we went to the Santa Monica studio and we recorded there with good mics, good setup, good, you know, everything. But
Expensive though.
Yeah. The mobile setup for recording like videos like that, especially like us all together, so that unironically, that setup works so good for the in-person like, recording sesh, like a Sparking Zero recording session, that exact environment would be fire. Like to have a bunch of us IRL if we had better mics and a little more reliable.
No, it'd be great. I mean, it's also just more fun because that's when I get like content creator mode where I'm like, I just want to do dumb shit for the video to make it slightly more funny. Like in our Budokai videos, I wanted ref costumes. Like I thought that'd be funny.
Yeah. But. Weren't you gonna, was that you that was thinking about jumping into the pool? Because we could like see the place we stayed at, we could see, it's kind of weird.
I mean, it's just, yeah, they had like a creep pool where everybody could see the pool at all angles.
Yeah. You went underground. There was like this like room underground. And so you could see, like they had a window into the interior of the pool. You could just see into the pool.
That's why it was a creep thing. It was like ass height. Like it was like if you wanted to stare at people's asses in the pool.
Yeah, you would just basically literally like that. Their ass was just right there in the like window if they were in the pool. But I feel like we talked about you jumping in and filming you jumping into the pool, but not to film your ass, just literally. Was that you? Was that not you that we did that?
I think so. I mean, I just like, it's not peer pressure, but it's like the perfect environment to be goofy, bro. Like,
yes,
somebody's got to be goofy. It's funny.
I had a point though. We did make the Budokai videos and we made a burger video, which was kind of fun. But I think that's all we made. Like we were there for a week and we made like maybe 5-6 videos total across everyone's channel.
And that's being generous because really the Budokai video was one video. We just did that 3 times. Like I don't even count that as 5 separate videos, but yeah.
And then Diddy came here, Sauce Man. If you're not familiar, like Diddy came to your house. Like what's going on?
Hey man.
Anyway,
that was a crazy party though.
Diddy throws some insane parties. But the thing is, he was here in person. We got iced in. We couldn't even do anything but make content. And it was the Dokkan 8th anniversary. And I think he and I walked away maybe making 3 or 4 videos per channel. That was it. It was so when Donald says that we've never been more efficient, like even me with any other creator ever, even going out and staying at Dino's place for like a week, I've never made more videos than I did with Dotto. Because we made how many videos for your channel, my channel, and Key Moments in like 3 days? This is nuts, dude. I cannot believe how like on it we were.
I remember. Okay, last story about this, and this goes to show like the burnout. And Nato is a harder worker than me, I will say, because we were. And overall, I'm glad we did it. I'm always glad when it's done, but I never want to do it. We had just finished up recording. We're driving. Literally, we recorded. recorded up until I had to leave. A little after, we didn't even get to finish the video. So we leave. But like we record. I had my suitcase ready. It's time to go. We have to leave. And we get in the car to go to the airport. And they just like, all right, get out your phone. Let's do the titles for these videos. And I was like, I don't want to.
Donald's just trying to vibe out while I like drove him to the airport.
I was trying to chill.
Nah, dude. We had like 30-ish minutes of just pure like us in a car, can't do anything else. Let's do titles and thumbnails, man. Right,
bro,
now.
If there was a way to get a setup, Nano would have had me record a fucking video in the car, bro. Like it was nasty work, bro. I'm telling you, like, there's a reason we were burnt out, and it's because I got off the plane. We enjoyed a nice we got a beverage. Like that was nice. No work there. And then it was boom. It was just work.
Yep.
3 days in a row. Ah, man. With a small Fortnite break. But I say small Fortnite break.
Literally 30
minutes.
That was
at 4 a.m. At 4 a.m. Yeah. So we were sacrificing our sleep. But
next time there's gonna be more Fortnite breaks.
Oh, hell yeah, dude.
There's gonna be way more breaks. Maybe some retro breaks, Dotto. I am still into these retro games right now, bro. Actually,
let's fucking go.
Wait. I got to ask you on one real quick, and then we can dive into your Sparking Zero. Have some stuff I want to talk about too. Are you an NBA/NFL street guy? Did you play those?
Oh, I fucking love the street games.
Yeah, so I may or may not have volume 2. I never got to play volume 2 of NBA Street. So I have volume 2 on the way, and I always heard that was actually better than 1. Then I have all 3 NFL street games.
I'm not even joking. Can we please, you brought up like if we ever go to Santa Monica Studio, I need a video for my channel at least. And maybe we could even do a Key Moments, but I need a NFL or NBA street video. Fuck it. Let's do both in one video.
I was gonna say, just honestly, both in one video. Yeah.
I fucking love that series. And shout out to you for being the first person in my life other than me and my friend from elementary school, fucking, or middle school. I don't even remember. That's all we did together. He was like, as a kid, you know, you like friends that you break up and say, maybe you have like a best friend and you guys have a lot of interest. Sometimes you just got a friend that's my interest with this. Our link was that we both like the NBA street games and the NFL street games.
Dude, they're so like, fire.
They're fucking sick, bro. Like jumping off the wall and fucking stiff arming somebody and they fucking die.
Dude,
that shit is awesome, dude.
I never owned the NFL street game. I always had to go. I had one of my friends had it at his house, and that's what we went over, and we always played NFL street at his place. I never got to own NFL street games. I had NBA street one. But Dotto, it was on, I don't know if it was on, was it on other platforms? Yeah, it definitely was. It was on Xbox and GameCube, right? For sure GameCube, I think. Anyway, it was a blueback on PS2. And my freaking PS2 stopped playing blueback games. I don't know if you even know what I'm talking about, but hopefully some of the listeners do.
I have no fucking idea.
Some of the early games on PS2 were on bluebacks, and I actually think they might have been CD-ROMs instead of DVDs. I think that's why they were blue. But anyway, my PS2 just stopped playing them. It stopped playing them and certain DVDs. Ironically enough, one of the DVDs it could play was Broly and Return of Cooler.
I knew that's where that was going, bro.
That's literally, like, it could not play so many movies, and it couldn't play bluebacks, but by God, it could play two Dragon Ball Z movies and all normal PS2 games. But, like, it was so random that it could play... It could only play the two Dragon Ball Z DVDs that I owned at the time.
This is some younger person energy, bro. Because nowadays, the second something doesn't read one disc as an adult, I'm just throwing the fucking thing out and getting a refund. But as a kid, you don't have that option. So you're like, no. I guess I have to systematically test every one of my discs to see what I can still use.
Yep.
That would not happen today. What were we talking about? Sparking Zero? Dude, NFL Street. Wait. I mean, NFL Street is sick. I do want to say, if you guys... Look, Nana, sometimes you give me hope, bro, because, like, a lot of Dragon Ball fans aren't, like me, bro. But I feel like, no other Dragon Ball fan on YouTube bringing up NFL and NBA Street. Volume, and you even said volumes, but you know that they had volumes. I think I always liked NFL Street a little more, just because... The jumping off walls thing was so fucking sick.
I'm almost treating it like getting a new game. I'm so actually unironically excited to play through all three of those games. Like, I'm like, dude, some you back in the Santa Monica studio, some local NFL street gameplay. Holy shit. That sounds like it's a good ass. Like, I could be burnt out the shit. And that sounds just like a good ass time, dude. Like, I'm just I'm locked in, bro.
I just remember the trash cans and like how they were on this. You could like leap over them or they would like mess you up. You could jump.
Dude, yeah.
I keep bringing up the jump off the wall because I definitely remember one of the highlights of my career in those games is jumping off the wall over like six defenders, getting a touchdown. Oh my God, bro, that game was so sick.
One other thing before we dive into Sparking Zero, have you seen the next beta exclusive for Marvel Rivals?
No.
Dude, it's freaking Blue Venom.
That's actually pretty cool.
It is
God damn it. Dude, feel like that's one I actually care about. Like, the first one was the Scarlet Witch, and I was like, who gives a flying fuck about the Scarlet Witch?
Yeah, I didn't really care about that, but I gotta have blue. Here, look. Here it is. Look at this, dude.
Are we gonna have to lock in, bro? Like, it took a decent bit of playing to get that.
It did. I'm like, is that gonna be genuinely like hours upon hours? Because I'm trying to show up like 4 years after the game's
that's
out.
That's pretty sick.
And that Blue Venom outfit. Here you guys go. For all the, if you're just a listener, we absolutely appreciate you, but look, there it is.
It's Venom but blue, guy. It's Venom but blue. The audio listeners have had to imagine much harder things than this. Venom but blue and the spider's still white.
Man, dude, that game was actually really fun.
Like, I enjoyed it. Like, no complaints. Well, actually, I do have some complaints. Like, I hope they don't get rid of it. I feel like the modern gaming thing to do, the Doctor Strange portal, if you don't know Marvel Rivals, Doctor Strange can open a portal. And you can like use it to flank, jump through. It's like the teleporting portal from the movies and comics. You can also shoot through it. You can fully see everything on the other side of the portal. It's so fucking cool. But it lags the game to shit when anybody uses it, to the point where it's almost useless as a flank ability because it lags the game. So, you know, they're flanking. It's kind of a crazy meta game, but it is really cool.
I did not know that. Every time I played, I don't think anyone ever used a portal when I was playing. I don't know if anyone ever used a strange portal. And like, I played a few matches with you and a couple other people, and I don't know that anyone used it then either.
It's really sick. I'm maybe you caught me on my off period trying to learn something else. The balance in that game was a little weird, but I thought it was, you know, it was fun. You know, it was fun. I would play again. I probably will try to get that Blue Venom skin because that's actually, I'm with, whenever they do a closed beta thing, I also always envision like, man, in 5 years when this game is dead and I show up to the niche community with this shit, I'm going to look so cool.
Yes. And also they expect you to be, I have like a super rare skin for Kel on League of Legends and I'm just okay at League, right? Like I've not played League consistently since 2016, which in my head still sounds not that long ago, but that was 8 years ago. Anyway, and so I show up and I'm like, look at this shit, you know, and I sometimes get people comment used to anyways in the all chat about that skin, but then I'm complete and total ass, bro, because I'm like, I ain't played this game in forever, but look at me, man. I got this old shit, bro. Pax Jax. What do you know about fucking Pax Jax, baby? Let's go.
That is a flex. I just like it when it's a flex because, you know, like back in the day, you know, it's a real flex when back in the day that was like a rumor, a legend. You know, you don't see that shit ever.
Black,
and when you
Alistar,
do,
have you ever seen a Black Alistar in game?
I don't think I have. Though.
Neither have I, bro. Never. Not once.
It's fucking rare stuff like that. Although it does, it really depends on the game. Like in League of Legends, that shit is like plus 500 aura. Like not even a joke. But like in Gears of War, in Gears 5, sorry, they removed the of war. In Gears 5, I have the beta banner.
Let's go.
It is. I have the beta tester banner. And it really doesn't matter.
That shit sounds actually pretty rare. For Gears 5, who played that shit?
I'm saying, but like, it don't matter. Like, it doesn't matter because it just doesn't. You know, it's not aura, yeah. Well, even if it was Gears, I think it would have to be like a different kind of, yeah, it would have to be a different kind of item, cosmetic or something.
It's kind of like the COD banners that you get for playing the beta. Like, okay, who cares? Like, you know,
yeah, it's like, I don't, like, nobody can see this. Nobody... This does nothing for my ego. But, man, I hope the new gear... I think that's the number one thing people... Do you ever think about this? Getting lumped into a online, like, persona circle? Like, obviously, I don't think we're just personas. But when you are, like, a Dragon Ball YouTuber or you mainly play Dragon Ball games or anime games or whatever you do, fighting games, yada, yada. Like, I feel like there's massive parts of your personality that just get like glossed over because you never like talk about them. For me, that's Gears, bro. I played Gears way more than any of this lame Dragon Ball shit, bro. And I played a lot of Dragon Ball, but I played Gears of War and that was what I did. And I played Gears of War and that's, I woke up Gears of War, went to sleep, woke up Gears of War. It was a lot of Gears of War.
I agree. The 100%, that's just a content creator thing, right? Unless you are a true variety. And even then, like for me, like a variety streamer, I probably shouldn't call someone out individually, but I'm going to, who cares? Like Co Carnage is like a very like hardcore variety streamer, streams pretty much any new game. But to me, he will forever be an H1Z1 streamer and a Witcher streamer, because those are like the streams I really tuned into. But I know that dude plays literally everything. But for me, in my head, I think of H1Z1 and I think of the Witcher.
Best way to describe it is like kind of like friend group circles. Like people make the joke like friend group A, friend group B. I would almost imagine like doing YouTube videos or streams, it's just like it kind of becomes a friend group circle. So the rest of the stuff gets left out a lot, which I just think it's just funny. It's just really funny because I think that leads to other stuff like, I don't know. We were talking about like being a huge Dragon Ball fan. Like I'm a huge fan of Dragon Ball, but casually.
Same.
like, wow, you play a lot of Dragon Ball? Yeah, man, this shit's awesome. You watch the movies? Of course, bro. Who's this character? Weren't they in like the TOP or something? Yeah, but like, do you remember what universe? No, not at all. Is it like a Ribrian girl? Nope. Oh, okay. Then no, I don't. Like, that's me, bro. Like, I like Dragon Ball, but it's not like, well, I would say it is my thing, but you know, to a certain degree, you know, I'm casual friendly. You know, I'm not out here every character knowledge. The leaks.
I think that's, by the way, I want to correct myself for anyone that is also a co-viewer. This actually makes sense, right? Was PUBG a mod of H1Z1? Does that sound right to you?
Yeah.
I feel like PlayerUnknown did some shenanigans with H1Z1 to make PUBG.
I think that I think that is true, yeah. Because H1Z1 Battlegrounds was what people actually played.
Yes, so...
Even though that game was so bad. Holy,
I want to correct myself. I did not watch Ko play H1Z1. I watched him play PUBG. I kind of feel disgusting that I got those incorrect, because I actually put a decent amount of time in PUBG myself, too. But that's neither here nor there. Anyway, PUBG is what...
Now that, bro, we've branched off six times on this podcast, but I have to say this.
Okay.
Fuck the era of gaming where... Like, it was like a caveman era, bro. People wanted to play like, nowadays, you hear Battle Royale game, that's so overplayed, right?
Yes.
But fuck the era of gaming where it was people clearly wanted to play Battle Royale games, but nobody wanted to make them that was talented. So people actually had to play garbage like H1Z1, like Battlegrounds. That is fucking disgusting. How low are you willing to low? Like, even PUBG, I know people are nostalgic for PUBG. That game is, like, it's... Like, it has no personality, bro. PUBG Mobile, unironically, has 10 times more personality than PUBG. It's just so...
Well, okay, hang on.
It's so bland, bro.
Hang on, though. I do got to step in for a second. PUBG... What am I thinking? Dude, there's a game that's way older, though, that I used to watch Ko play, and I cannot think of what it is. Some of you guys, if you watch Ko, let me know, because, like, I used to watch him back in 2012, 2013. Anyway.
Jesus.
Yeah.
Is that PUBG? I'm looking it up, bro. How old is PUBG?
PUBG's not that old. But PUBG, there is something about that game that I feel like no other game has replicated. And I've loved with the shooting. The way that game feels with the shooting is so good. I've got a buddy of mine that he still plays. His two main games he goes to are League and PUBG, and he's not playing a single player game. He has thousands of hours in PUBG. He's a top ranked duo on one of the maps. I can't remember what it was called. Anyway, he loves that game. And I will give him that. Damn, does that game feel still so good to this day? The last time I loaded in was like 2 years ago, but like, well, I was like, damn, this game still feels like there's something about the shooting in that game that I feel like no other game has gotten the same way. I don't know how to explain it. Sniping in that game is the literal best feeling. Like, it is so good.
That's crazy to hear. Maybe I got to try it again. Here's my olive branch that I'll say this. PUBG was the, by far, best variation of what I'm talking about. The real one I have beef with is H1Z1 Battlegrounds. Like, that is very clear market desperation.
Yes.
And no, that is like this guy. Like, that's literally like selling water in a desert, bro. Like, people only played H1Z1 Battlegrounds because, like, damn, bro. Like, what? Like, that's what people wanted to play Battle Royales, and nobody was making. Now you have so many options. You're overflowed with great options. H1Z1 Battlegrounds could never exist in that environment. I remember when people were like, what can H1Z1 Battlegrounds do to stay relevant? Nothing. Die off and stay dead. Like, because you were just a stepping stone, bro. I fucking hated it. More so, I hated that people were just like it was kind of sad, bro. It's like, people want to play this game. Why is nobody making these kind of games? And then I think Fortnite kind of...
Yeah,
Fortnite had the polish. Fortnite was polished, and that I was like, thank God, dude. Or I talk about this a lot, but sometimes I'm glad when, like, if there's going to be a number one dominant thing, I'm glad Fortnite is the number one dominant thing, because it's polished, it's cool, and I don't know, it's skill dependent, I guess. So good job, you know, I'll take it. Better than random. I'm saying random. I literally just hate H1Z1 Battlegrounds or whatever the fuck it's called. I think that's where most of my ire is.
Right,
but also the Culling. The Culling is another game.
I never played that one.
The Culling 2, garbage.
Never.
Nothing against the developer, you know? But, bro, garbage. It's like, come on, try, man. Like, the amount, and there's probably so many more I'm forgetting. That was an era of gaming.
How much would you have eaten up a Halo BR?
I would have loved it. I would have played it. I mean, the thing is, and see, now we're getting into another. I hate Halo fans because they act like Halo fans are the. Sorry.
We gotta talk Parking Zero in the episode at some point in this podcast.
Bro, I'm about to just say, bro, the episode, the Dragon Ball Z episode of the Z rewatch is about to be 10 minutes. God, you just touched on such a nerve, bro. Halo fans in that battle royale, it was the most annoying shit of all time, bro. I fucking hate Halo fans because they were like, battle royale, really? But we don't really need that, do we? People want to play battle royales. It's popular. Why do you want the game to die? And sure enough, the game fucking sucked, bro, because 343 can't put out a complete game in their life. And when they finally do finish it, they move on to the next one. But yeah, I'd like to play a Halo Battle Royale. I'll check it out.
I don't understand why people were so against that, because they're like, no, we got to keep it core. And I'm like, if you want to get more fucking Halo games, like, just let them. They need to do the BR. The BR mode should just exist. If that's going to get more people to play your game, like, I just never understand the gatekeeping in any community at all. Like the one we saw semi recently in the anime community. I'm like, why the fuck do you care about gatekeeping, whether like in any way possible? If the thing that you like isn't liked by more people, guess what? The thing that you like will be donezo. There will be no more thing that you like.
No, Nana, listen, I agree, and I'm glad you use the word gatekeeping. The Halo community, and this has been, and I was one of them. I felt this way too. Halo community.
I've been that way before. I've been that way before, for sure. Yes,
the Halo community is the number one gatekeeping thing in the world. And it started, I remember my first gatekeep community talk in Halo when I was a kid, and I ended up falling on the gatekeep side of this. Even back then, here's what it was. It was kill cams. Call of Duty did kill cams, and the Halo community was like, oh, we don't want to do kill cams. That's stupid. You know what? Kill cams? What, Call of Duty? No. No thanks. We play Halo. And I was like, yeah, fuck Call of Duty. And then I was thinking, I was like, but kill cams would be pretty cool in Halo, though. Like, I would almost more want kill cams in a physics-based like Halo than, because like there's some kills that look crazy in Halo, and sometimes you want to see that. Anyway, so I was gatekeeping there, and it just, nobody else like changed or got rid of it. Like, I get it. It comes from the people that are like, Halo, dumb game, Battle Royale needed to survive. And obviously, if you hear that as a Halo fan, you're like, fuck these fucking Battle Royale guys.
Yeah.
But like, you could be normal. You could be like, a Battle Royale could be a fun mode. Halo needs modes. Okay, that's what pisses me off the most. And people are like, Battle Royale mode? Like, we need that. And then you boot up Halo Infinite on launch, and it's like, Team Slayer, capture the flag. I do hate you, 343. I think you're talented. I think you're awesome. But then, for some reason, where's the complete game on launch, man?
I gotta add to this. I'm sorry. I gotta add to this. I gotta ask a question. We'll keep it brief. For those of you that are enjoying this, by the way, thank you. We appreciate you. So do you think the traditional multiplayer experience is kind of dead? Like, do you think it's ever going to have the popularity it once had? Because like, Warzone is infinitely more popular than standard Call of Duty multiplayer.
I kind of do. And it's kind of sad to say, because
like it doesn't hit for me anymore. I was playing, and maybe the other thing too is like, part of it is like the lack of innovation. Maybe there's going to be like a new FPS game that does traditional multiplayer. I'm just hopping into TDM and it like hits. So maybe it's just the fact that there's not been much innovation in the space, or maybe I'm not seeing it. Maybe I'm not playing the right games. I don't know. But Call of Duty, Halo's, like, those are fun in bursts. But whereas like back in the day, like with Modern Warfare 2, Black Ops, stuff like that, like I had hundreds of hours in those games. I barely can last a week now when those games launch. And then I'm like, all right, I'm good. I've had my fill. Like, they're not something I continue to go back to. So do you think it's like that we are just kind of done with that style? Or do you think it's that we've just not seen innovation in that style?
I've never thought of this, but as you brought that up, I think something clicked in my brain. I think it's all about like wanting to be the best. And I think, this just clicked for me. I have to walk through my thoughts on this. I'm probably going to stutter my words here, but I think it's about wanting to be the best, because my main problem with launching up multiplayer nowadays, and this is a brain rot take, but I think maybe the fact is our brains have all gone rotten. It also could just be an old man take. Like, maybe we don't care because we're older now, but it's about wanting to be the best. Back in the day, I used to actually care. Like, I would load into Modern Warfare 2, a team deathmatch comes up, I'm like, I need to win this. I have to win this team deathmatch right now. But why the fuck did I care? I don't remember why I cared. It wasn't ranked. There was no ranks. So now, ranked modes have kind of taken over like a team deathmatch. I'm not playing team deathmatch. I'd play ranked team deathmatch. In Gears 5, I can still enjoy a ranked team deathmatch because there is no bigger mode. But in games that have a battle royale kind of thing, it's like, it's you versus 100 people. And when you win, it pops up on the screen saying, you're the fucking best. You beat all these people. You won. You did it. Which I don't think you get that kind of satisfaction or feeling from winning a team deathmatch that's over in 5 minutes, you know? So I think it's just like an adrenaline thing. Like,
you're probably right.
Because I kind of agree. I think it's about wanting to win in games where other people also want to win. It's about beating people that want to win and you're better than them.
It's kind of like I was playing Overwatch 2 the other night with some people, and which that's a statement I never thought I would say, but they threw me into ranked even though I wasn't ranked or something. Anyway, we got demolished. It was fucking terrible because I couldn't, what am I doing? I've not played Overwatch in 8 years. You know what I mean? Like, anyway, but one of them was like, I'll get off if we're not playing ranked. Cause like, if we're not doing ranked, I have no desire to be on this game right now. And I was like, I totally feel that though. Like, I totally get that. Like, you feel like you're wasting your time if it's not, there's no stakes, right?
Like, it's just like, it feels hollow. Like there's, mm-hmm. I'm like that. If there's a game with ranked and without it, even if I'm new to the game, I'm like, can we please just play ranked? So I feel like I'm doing something. Like, I feel like I'm, I don't know, like there's stakes. And I think it's brain rot. I think it's probably a bad thing, but I'm just going to be honest and say, like, I'd rather feel something than nothing.
Are you excited for Sparking Zero's ranked mode, Dotto?
No.
You're actually...
I'm not
lies.
Really. Not really, bro. They've confirmed it's going to be off the DP system.
Yes. Yep. It is the DP system. Do we know what the total cost will be? I don't think we've been told that yet.
No, actually, I don't think they've confirmed that.
The DP system in BT3 can go what? 5, 10, 20?
20, 20. Yeah, 5, 10, 20. I think there's 15 too. 5, 10, 15, 20.
But I wonder if they'll make it more because you can have up. Well, you can have up to 5 characters in BT3 as well. It'll be interesting if we have had some sort of... I'm going to look into it and actually see if we've had... Okay, so I don't think... Maybe it doesn't actually say... I'm seeing an article here that's throwing out the number 30, but I don't know that that's actually a full confirmation. But we do know it's going to work exactly like the DP system in the older Tenkaichi games, which it's going to be very interesting to see like what a UI Goku is versus what like a Yajirobe is, you know, like, and the fact that Yajirobe is in base game, but probably no SSJ4 Gogeta or SSJ4 Goku is literally insane. I would give up Yajirobe for like almost any other character. But I felt like you were going to say you were actually excited about it because I feel like a series trying to be like a top ranked person sounds like sounds like a series you're going to do.
I probably will have a good time, and who knows, maybe it'll end up being one of my favorite parts of the game if I like taking it seriously. But I guess I'm looking at this game the same way I would look at it. Well, there's also the YouTube window. I'm looking at it through the YouTube window and then also through Kid Me window. And this is an example of, I just like playing my friends and trying goofy challenges, like tournament mode matches, like world tournament stages. That's, I know it's become a joke, but my favorite feature in BT3 was the world tournament stage ring out matches. I thought it was sick. So that stuff, I hope they add ring outs because they're not in the game right now. That stuff is really cool. And just playing in like raid battle videos, you know, like boosting up an opponent and trying to beat a really hard AI. I really hope, well, actually you can customize it to make them really hard. So that's the stuff I'm more excited about, but I definitely will be playing the ranked matches, trying them out. But honestly, I know the DP system's there to balance it, but is there really any hope for a Krillin guy like me, bro? Like, what am I to do?
But play Krillin? But I think from the sake of making a video, that actually is way more interesting, right? Because like,
I agree.
Winning with a full like humans team is going to be so much more impressive than like going in with Gogeta, Vegito and winning. Like, you know, I don't know, like that will be super impressive and just will be a reason to click in and of itself. One thing that I also am pretty stoked about, and I hope that there is, and we don't know this yet 100% what they're doing with this, but the custom battles, like what you're saying, the raid battles, I think one thing that'd be super interesting, especially as creators, did you you did because you were in some of them, but like Rhyme's Mario Maker series where he used Rhyme, I think it was the hashtag like Rhyme MM2 or something like that. It would be cool like to present out like a challenge to like, you know, your community and be like, yo, post your codes and use like this hashtag nano, you know, Sparking Zero or whatever. Post your codes. Let me see if I can beat like your events or check out your fights that you've like created. That's going to be like such a cool social feature of the game. And I really hope for people that aren't creators like us that I can't make a video and go, yo, use this hashtag. I'll just browse your shit. I hope there's a hub. Like there needs to be a hub where you can browse like today's most popular like stages or this week's most popular stages or, you know, whatever. Like that'll be really, really cool. Like, were you a Little Big Planet guy at all?
I mean, I played it, yeah.
Like, because you could browse and you could see, like, because you could upvote. Like, when you got through playing, like, a person's level, you could upvote if you enjoyed it or not. And that's how, like, you would find, like, really cool shit, like people recreating BioShock and Little Big Planet and shit like that. That'll be so cool. The bar is always so low, though, on anime games. That's why Sparking Zero has impressed me. And you have literally 4, 5, 6x the time than me. Like, I saw all those freaking, like, you played this game way more than me at this point now.
Yeah.
The bar was so low that it impressed me so much, but the bar is still low that I'm not actually expecting a full-on custom hub that lets you browse the custom creations people have made. So
yeah, I mean, I would agree. They're working against, I'm not gonna lie, when they put in the custom battle mode, I was shocked. I'm shocked that they're allowing people to do
100%.
That
100%. That's insane.
So they're working against like the worst standard, because now I'm already shocked. I'm like, wow, can't believe they did that. I think it's gonna, I in my head, I see it as like it's gonna be the lamest custom mode of all time. Like, they'll let you choose stats and stuff, like, but they're working against my terrible impression of them. Like, allowing people to customize stuff, I'm just like, if they literally let us play other levels at all and like just play them and download them and see them, I'm going to be shocked again. Like, it's so easy to shock me in this regard. Any step they do towards making it more fun and more customizable,
yeah, more of a social experience. Yeah. Like,
it shocks me.
Like, more, like, I guess. Yeah. I just literally use that as an example, even beyond Little Big Planet. Mario Maker does it. Halo Forge, right? Like,
yeah.
Anything, like, dude, if they do that, well, first off, that game then has super endless content. Like, beyond endless content. And then two, like, I don't know, but I'm afraid it's going to be like, here's a 10 digit code, share it with your friends. I'm so afraid that's what it's going to be. It's going to be like
it might honestly be better that way, because if you boot up Halo Forge on Infinite right now, you're going to see like The Walking Dead, and it'll say The Walking Dead map, or like, you know, like Wendy's, like a recreation of Wendy's. Can you imagine what, see, in my head, if Bandai saw their game like that, it was, and it was like Dragon Ball AF or like recreation or Gotenks or adult Gotenks recreation, I just imagine Bandai being like, yeah, shut it down, kill those, delete those right now. We can't, like, no. I don't know. I have such a low bar for Bandai and allowing the community to create stuff in the way of like messing with their characters, I guess. In the presentation, they said the stuff in green, you can customize to anything you want. I took that as like, write it in, but I'm almost positive there's no way they're going to let you write stuff in. Surely they won't do that.
No. It is a drop down. Yeah. No. Almost everything is a drop down. There is no like, which from a conversational standpoint is great, because that means all the lines should be voice acted. Right. But from a creativity standpoint, I guess there will be still limits, because like, I don't think you're going to be able to put like any amount of HP that you want. I think there will still be limitations to that. Like, this happens when you're at 30%, and that's like in a drop down situation, not like just this happened. I don't know.
Mostly just the text. I'm like, that'd be cool if you could, like, because then you could actually write out storylines.
Yeah. Full on AF type shit. Yeah.
But I would never let you do that. They just would not.
No.
Which is a little sad, but again, I was already shocked when they put it in the game anyway, so you know, give a mouse a cookie, I guess. But yeah, Sparking Zero was great. I think I just when I played, I'm just bridging this in unless you had anything to say.
No. Go for it.
I mostly wanted to focus on combos and characters that were lesser seen. I feel like I've talked about this a lot. I feel like the biggest blind spot for me was from the old games. You know, if you play Goku, really, you're mostly, or maybe this has always been wrong, but you're mostly looking for the final form, right? Like, the final form is the cool one. You pick the final form and that's it. But in this game, all the animations are so cool that I actually discovered that my favorite looking move in the game by far is Instant Transmission Kamehameha on Super Saiyan Goku End. Okay. So I wanted to make sure to go through and play all of the early versions of Goku and Vegeta, because they are pretty different in the move department, like specials. So it made me open up a little more to the idea of like the character roster is huge, but most of them are just versions of the same character. Because, I mean, it looks like they're putting in a lot of effort into that. So I can't really even complain. Still worried about DLC. I don't know how I would buy the DLC of that. But, yeah, so I want to check that out. So obviously wanted to do more combos and shit.
Let's address that really quick. So we last time we talked, and I knew this, and I guess we were just in the middle of talking, and I feel like you probably know this too. But they are confirmed to be packs.
Oh, are they confirmed to be packs?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So on the collector's edition or whatever of it, it actually shows that if you buy the ultimate, you're going to get packs 1, 2, and 3, which are confirmed to be 20 characters.
20 characters overall or 20 characters a pack?
It's 20 characters total.
Oh, okay.
Between the three packs.
I was about to pop off, bro. 20 characters a pack would have been crazy.
So that's probably like 7, 7, 6, you know, 8, 7, 6, or that'd be 8. I'll take it, bro.
I mean, damn. Something like that. If you buy the Ultimate Edition, you get 3, like, you get 20 characters off that?
Yes.
Technically, I mean, that's pretty good. I'll take that.
Yeah.
All right, well, I'm pretty satisfied on that.
Yeah, I had seen that, and I saw people commenting, like, hey, we already know that they're packs. And I was like, oh, shit, I got to remember to bring that up the next time we're talking, because I just to make sure. And also, too, if some of you guys listen to us and you also weren't aware, it's going to be 3 packs, including Dragon Ball Super Superhero, Dragon Ball Daima, and Dragon Ball Daima content that contains more than 20 playable characters. Oh, shit. More than 20.
So they've confirmed Daima's going to be a part of it?
Yeah, 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 yeah. That's like on the picture.
I didn't know any of that.
But that's on the picture, right? We've talked about that, right?
I didn't know any of this shit, bro.
Yeah, look, here, right here. Let me send it to you.
I'm a real casual guy. Reading? I don't read. I got to see it in the trailer, bro. They got to put it in a trailer for me.
Which technically they do at the end, but it is in the trailer.
When this screen pops up, I just, my eyes
surely
just
when
shut
you look
down,
at that,
bro.
You'll see it and you'll be like, oh, yeah, Daima with the Gammas, right?
I did not. I never saw this before.
What?
I probably just wasn't looking, bro. I'm gonna be honest. For some reason, the question mark has always been where I've where it's tapped me. But this is cool. I like this. You got a lenticular card with Ultimate Edition upgrade pack voucher code.
I think the only problem with Tenkaichi is that, like, when you look to, well, the game itself is, and you just called it out as well. But when you look to the top right of that with the pre-order bonus, right there, that is 6 freaking characters. So they could consider giving us Gogeta and Broly 6 characters and go, here's a DLC pack, when in all reality, really just 2. It is 6 because, yes, their moves change, but also, like, you buy a pack, like, when we buy, like, the GT pack for Goku, and it's literally the entire pack is literally just Kid Goku all the way to SSJ4, and that's like 5 characters or something, you know? And it's like, you know, it's like,
I know, I agree, that's always going to be the problem there. And I am like that. I know there's some harder stance people, we talked about this, that are like, they're all unique characters. And then there's some like, no, like it's lame. They're all forms of one character. I'm in the middle. I'm like, they are unique. And that is true. But also it doesn't hit the same. You know, I get it. I get both sides. It doesn't hit the same. But I've more come around to the unique character side because the supers are so different. So it has been... And mostly, when I saw that instant transmission Kamehameha, I was like, holy fuck, I want to play... It made me think, like, I want to main... Which sounds so fucking stupid. I was like, I want to play Super Saiyan 1 Goku from the end of Z line. And then I was like, who cares about that specific? But it's me. I do now.
I think it's also... and I get it, right? We're all just waiting for the game to come out. And so, like, what is the thing that we can talk about while we wait for the game to come out? And the main thing people go to is, who's going to be your main? And again, for me... Someone who's so passively, like, my main games as a kid were the Budokai 1 through 3 series. When Budokai Tenkaichi came out, my main childhood group of friends that came together to play Budokai 1 through 3 kind of like had dissolved, because like I played with like some older guys that were then like in late high school, and they were like playing football and going out and stuff like that, so they didn't really come around and play BT, you know, the Budokai games anymore. So like my experience with BT games is very actually minimal of all the main games, which is kind of crazy to say because I know that like BT3 is like one of the most iconic. All that to say, for a very long time in my time, I always kind of felt like BT3, like, and I still think this is kind of true, unless you're like playing like really, really competitive, most of the characters feel the same. Most of the characters feel the same. I do think Sparking
in
Zero
terms of
is
standard is, offensive strings, yeah.
But I do think Sparking Zero is going to break that a little more. Do you feel that way, or am I still just a very much so noob to the BT games that I
no,
think?
No, I think. I mean, again, I'm also a scrub here. I'm not going to pretend I'm a Budokai Tenkaichi pro or anything. But yeah, it's just it's not a 2D fighting game. It's not. Okay, I'm gonna maybe I'm wrong. You know, maybe I'll come around and it'll be the greatest fighting game masterpiece of all time. But having a main in a 2D fighting game makes more sense because it's like you have to put time into learning the inputs. Maybe back in the day it made more sense, honestly. The inputs, the trades, the situations, frame data, stuff like that. Shit I never learned anyway. But like in Budokai Tenkaichi, there's pretty much like similar strings. Every character is doing the same string and then with different supers. I'm not sure how different that's going to be. Obviously the androids have that key restraint, so that's a little different. But like, you know, the Jiro's grab is like the main part of his kit. I thought that was pretty cool. Like landing Jiro's grab is pretty huge to play Jiro. But other than that, I mean, they're pretty similar. I don't think of it as like that crazy, but it is good to have like, you know, with any game that you compete against anybody and you're like, all right, hold on, let me get my real fucking character, bro. Cause you're not even
true. But I still, I just never here. Had a main. I don't know. I personally never had a main, but I do think another thing too, and you're a great example right now, is that like the person you think is your main right now before you've had the game in your hand, and we're also still missing like 70 plus characters that we don't know who are going to be in there. You're going to get the game in your hand and start playing with the different characters, and you might be like, hold up, like, wait a second, what the fuck? I'm a Jiro main all of a sudden. Like, there's probably going to be characters that will shock you in Sparking Zero that you wouldn't have thought would be your quote unquote main or on your team of 3, 4, 5, whatever. That all of a sudden now is because you found a move that you think is sick as shit, and you're like, okay, I want to land this on somebody in ranked, like, you know?
That's what Instant Transmission did to me. I saw that the animation, how cool it was, and how, like, I'm not gonna lie, Instant Transmission in the games is still like, I think after all this time, even being a kid and now being a fully grown ass man, Instant Transmission is still the best like fantasy element of Dragon Ball to me in the games.
I agree.
Because it's just like such a like nothing personal kid moment. Like it's fucking cool, dude. It's like, oh, I'm over here. Nah, I'm actually over here beating your ass, like dodging a beam. So charging up the Kamehameha, teleporting into the like behind the building and shooting him. I was like, holy fuck, that was cool. But I mean, realistically, even as a kid, my main in the Dragon Ball games was just my favorite characters. All right, that was it. Like, yes. It was like, hold on, let me get Krillin out. Like, and I got to
cook.
It
still kind of is, right? Isn't that kind of
exactly? Yes. Which is why Fighters was actually a struggle in that regard, because that was the first game where I was like, all right, but it still carried over in some way, because in the same way that my main was my favorite characters, I don't want to play the characters I don't like. So Frieza, I don't like Frieza. And when I tried to learn Frieza, I was just like, this, no, I don't want to fucking, like, I really don't want to play this character. I hate this character. But yeah, I'm looking at the clock. It's been a 55 minute podcast and we've talked about zero Dragon Ball Z. Should we just drop what we're doing and get over there?
I mean, we can. Yeah. Is there anything you want to add that like maybe that you found out from like obviously getting way more time on the game than probably anyone really?
Just that it's fun. I finally figured out how most of the clashes work. Okay. They're all very different. They do involve wiggling the stick. So the like dash in clash, that's wiggle the stick. Beam clash, you hold down triangle and you have to time your release at the end. And an important note is that every time you get into a clash like this, you have the option. And I'm not sure how this interacts with it, how much it increases your odd to win, or what the system does if your opponent also boosts it. But there is a boost option that'll take whatever key you have. And at least when I did it, every time I did it, I burnt my character out, meaning I was stunned while my key came back.
Oh.
Yeah, so I'm not sure like what happens when the opponent boosts and I boost. Does it come back to skill? What's the... I'm not even gonna lie. That's like day three shit when the game comes out. Like, all right, let me test these systems out. How does this really work? That's look up a YouTube guide stuff. So that was cool seeing all the different clashes. There's the grab clash, which I believe is the same as the beam, but I don't know. Got more comfortable with the combos. Definitely did practice that a little more. It's pretty similar to the other game, but nothing too crazy. I did get pissed at the people like, yeah, Dotto's not doing any real combos. What, bro? What are you talking? I did real combos all the time. So this time, Nano, this was the most childish thing. I made sure to hit a fucking 15K normal Beerus combo. Like, no key blast, no nothing, just raw clicking buttons one after the other. I was like, here, bro, here, take it. I'm releasing a Sparky video today. I literally, this is behind the scenes for key members or key moment viewers. I literally put that at the beginning of my video because I saw one comment like, I can't believe he never did any real combos. I put that at the beginning just so that one guy could watch and be like, now you can't say that, bro. Now you can't say I never did a combo. It's just that, bro, I'm focused on the supers because those are cool. Although this time around, I'm not going to lie, most of my footage was on like, I left one character out for the entire match a lot longer because I wanted to see this, stuff like that. I did also use I didn't know how I was going to be able to see this. I used Give Me Your Energy on Goku.
Okay.
Because in BT2, you can actually see the Spirit Bomb on the map and it gets bigger, which is really cool. So I got 2 stacks of Give Me Your Energy in this game. I didn't see the Spirit Bomb, but I didn't really have time to look around. What with the bots throwing Key Blast at me was so annoying. But yeah, so 2 bars of Give Me Your Energy did like 20K. So maybe 3 is like 2.5 or something. But don't really know on that. And it's just really fun. It's really, really fun. Getting a better hand on the controls makes it feel so much better. The pressure. No. The best thing I got is that the pressure was off when I was playing. I could just wait in line again, man. Like, I just had fun this time.
I was about to say, I feel like, yeah, and not to drone on this too much, but I cannot express to people that, like, it wasn't that we had like 30 minutes of actual in-game play time where it's like there's a counter that's counting down while we're actually in-game. It was 30 minutes of like literally set up that includes watching it say like thanks for playing after every session and having to like we couldn't go back to reset characters or anything. Like when the match ended, because we were in a demo version, which is of course what everyone played or a variant of it at Anime Expo, and we'll continue to play at all these places because that makes sense now that it says it would say thanks for playing every time we finished a match, because it's saying that because it's like get your ass off the station, go get back in line if you want to play again kind of thing. That includes that includes resetting back up your team, that includes browsing the 50 different characters to figure out which ones you want to use, that includes trying to figure out the damn controls, and then remembering shit, I only have 30 total minutes right now to do all these things while also worrying about recording and seeing shit before they kick me off. I'm like, yeah, that would have, having the feeling that you can just get back in line, that would be almost would be better than
it was better. It was way more relaxing. I got to do, it's not the end of the world, you know. It literally was like you said, it's 30 minutes like with an hourglass. They turn an hourglass over, as soon as the sand runs out, you're kicked, you're off, you're done forever. So taking risk felt a lot more freeing. Like, you couldn't take her. If the bot was shooting you, it was like, do I keep charging up so I can see this cool ultimate? Or do I just not let him fucking shoot me because I'm using all my time getting shot by fucking Key Blast? It was stressful. This was a lot less stressful. I do have some critiques as well. Like, I'm more ready to say my critiques of the game now.
Okay.
If you want to go into those.
Let's do it.
All right. One of these. Well, let me start with the... Let me start with the righteous one, and then we'll get into the nitty-gritty one. Some of the animation in the game is just bad. I saw people on Twitter. We talked about this in the bonus, I think, or maybe we talked about it before we started the podcast. Over on Patreon, check it out. Maybe you can tell me if I'm right or wrong. There's some animations in this game that do look bad, like the Super Saiyan Goku win animation where he claps the dust off his hands. I get what they're going for. It's a cool idea, but it looks janky. There's some animations that just look janky. There's some animations that look beautiful. Mostly I'm sticking up for that one guy on Twitter that got jumped. I agree with you, bro. I think you were right. Some animations look janky. This is the actual big one though. And I felt very vindicated. You ever have an opinion and then a good player says it and you're like, I fucking knew I was right on that. The key dash in this game, and I talked to 2 people about this. The key dash in this game feels like it takes a lot of key, almost to the point where it stifles your movement a little bit more than I would personally like. And a good player, Cherry, I think, on Twitter, I met him at Sparking, also tweeted this. I'm not sure if they've retracted it or anything. Maybe I don't want to like throw him under the bus with my opinion. But it feels really bad on like the Androids when you can't just charge it back. It feels so fucking bad to have to like little key dash away because it comes back so slow. And when I played Giro, I deadass was on zero key the entire fucking match. I'm also bad though. I was also talking to another YouTuber who said that they had, because they maybe even played more than me. They said, yeah, I kind of figured some stuff out that makes it not as bad. And we didn't get to talk about it because he was like, I wish I could just show you, but I can't. I was like, damn it, man. I really want to know what he's talking about. So the key dash feels a little too much. Not the like follow through, but like the flicker step. Like when you dash.
No, I know what you're talking about, because what I think is funny is that if you watch my footage, especially the early before I figured out how to actually just straight up dash, I've noticed when you are seeing other people's gameplay, like because there's a lot of Anime Expo gameplay out there now, a lot of people do the small the just regular quick dash, because I don't think people are realizing how to do a full dash. It's funny watching people's first interactions with this game, because the thing you do is just a bunch of those quick dashes to try to get over to the enemy. But the other thing too is with the amount of key it takes, it does not feel like you go far enough either. Like it doesn't feel as rewarding.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
It doesn't
sense.
Feel rewarding. And like it is where it's at its best is in the, like Sparking Zero, I'm not going to lie. My favorite interactions, I captured a few of these kind of things too. Is like when you're the offense, like vanish defense game in this does feel, it looks cool and it feels really good. When you're like both in your face and you're like blinking, dashing, blocking, blinking, that's cool. But when there's a medium degree of separation, the long dash is too punishable, and the short quick dash feels too punishing. And it's like, I guess I'm just gonna charge up and throw key blast until like I'll figure it out. Like I don't, my key reservoir right now is looking a little bad, so it's kind of just weird. I think it's more fun for it to be less punishing. Maybe it might be overpowered. That's probably the reason why it costs so much.
Yeah,
but
sure.
It's definitely one of those things where it's going to take some time to get used to that element. But the rest of the game felt really fun, especially with no pressure, bro. Oh my God, it feels so good. I played so much of it that Sparking Zero doesn't even feel like a new game to me anymore. Like I pretty much played. I played it. That's why I'm looking forward to the new characters. The DLC, like when Jiren comes out, I've been thirsting to play some Jiren, man.
The DLC, you've only played half the... You played a third of the
roster.
That's
what I'm saying, bro. I played so much that to me, the rest of the roster feels like DLC.
Oh, okay. I see.
That's why
I've been
I'm waiting for Jiren's... My mental space right now, Nano, is I feel like I'm waiting for a character drop. Like, I can't wait till Jiren drops. Not the game. I feel like I already own the game. That's how much I play. I'm waiting for Jiren to drop. And then I'm going to get back on.
Dude, I can't believe we're only 3 months out. We're literally, right now, from the time we're recording this, 3 months exactly, the game will be out 100%.
It's the best part of being old. I will say this every day because I know that there's probably some like younger person out there watching this. The best part of being old, and also the worst part, is that to you, speaking to the young person watching this, I bet you're like, 3 months. Oh, man, that's so long. To me and Nano, bro, 3 months is like 3 days, bro. Dude, we gonna be there so quick. Ah, man, I can't wait. That's the best part of being old is I don't even care when game release dates come out. I don't even think about it. That shit's tomorrow to me. It's so easy.
Yeah, it is weird how fast time flies, because it doesn't even, like, that really will just be like tomorrow. Like, it's just, it's insane. I can't.
It's the scariest. It's the scariest and best part of getting older is game release dates. I remember as a kid, bro.
Yeah,
I'd be like, no fucking way. 6 months, I'm cooked. I'm never gonna think about. There's no hope. Now 6 months, I'm like, holy shit, man. All right, well, I'm excited for that. That's gonna be like soon. And then like that's the way it works now is like 6 months. Oh, okay. I'm looking forward to that. Oh, hey, that game came out. It's like, bro, it's not even it's not nothing. Waiting is nothing. But yeah, do we want to, what do we do? Are we talking about Dragon Ball Z now?
Yeah, let's talk.
Holy shit. There's a certain subsection of Key Moments viewers that are just in pain and misery right now, bro. The other side of the aisle is pissed.
I'm sorry. You guys are getting one of the longest podcasts we've ever done right now. So hopefully you are enjoying this if you're a true Key Members, enjoyer.
One of the longest? Wait, Nana, hold up your score. It's over. Just hold up your score.
Oh, shit.
I'm kidding.
All right, so today we are also, man, this is a jam-packed ass episode of Key.
This is the worst moments. This is either somebody's worst or best episode of the podcast. I know, look, we've seen the comments. There's somebody out there that's just like, I can't, like, they're actually like hand to their fucking head right now. They're like, I can't fucking believe I just watched an hour of yapping to watch a Key Moments talk about nursing wounds.
All right, so today we are talking about Nursing Wounds. This is the third episode of the Namek Saga and the 38th episode of the overall uncut Dragon Ball Z series. This originally aired in February of 28th, 1990. The original English air date, because again, we are watching the Funimation version of this, was August 17th of 2005. That would be the date. A date that would not seem correct to you if you grew up with it, because we are not watching the ocean dub. So anyway, I love mentioning that now because Dotto says I'm just excited for you not to have to mention that every time. But yeah, obviously the original air date that I'm sure at least I watched, I don't know about Dotto, but I watched it, would have been way, way, way earlier. And this one did feel familiar. The last episode did not feel familiar. This one felt pretty familiar. This one though was not a lot of anything. Which is why we kind of filled the rest of the Key Moments episode up with other stuff, because I could literally just say that Krillin, Bulma, and Gohan got on the Namekian spaceship that we found in last episode and are now in space, and that would get you you're caught up. Like, straight up. Am I wrong?
No, I don't. That's this
episode.
Yeah.
That's this episode.
But, yeah, nothing really. I will say I agree with your point. The Namek stuff is way more familiar to me than the Saiyan Saga stuff. Even moments like this. I'm going to say this every podcast until I'm proven right or wrong. I don't believe in fake Namek. I think that's a conspiracy theory.
Yeah, no, I think that people are trolling us. I think it picked up traction or something from a movie. I don't know, dude. I'm actually with you, because I think that there's going to be some bits on the ship. Like, I don't think we're at Namek in next episode. Like, I definitely think we get like an episode that's like a mixture of on Earth and them on the ship, like doing shenanigans. But then I think that we're just at Namek, like, because Namek ends before episode 100, and we have to get through Zarbon, Dodoria, meeting the Namekians, doing the cookout in the cave, Ginyu Force, and Frieza. All in like under 60 episodes. I'm like, I don't think there's time for fake Namek.
No, I agree.
That's a lot of shit to do in like 60 episodes, dude.
Yeah, are we cooked? I guess that's all I got to say is I just don't know, bro. I just don't know. What was your, do you have a favorite part of this episode? Did anything stick out to you?
I would say, even though I was kind of like, I think I made some jokes. Again, you can watch our reaction over at patreon.com/key moments. Thank you guys for being key members, or you can click the join button here if you're watching on YouTube and be a key member right here. Just have easier access. But I would say my favorite moment probably was the Goku and Gohan moment. I really like that.
Yeah. Gohan, like, because, you know, they're gearing up to get out to Namek. Goku holds up his broken bone. This is like the one time where I fully get why Gohan held back, because Goku is in the iron lung, bro, holds up his hand.
Yep.
Go ahead, Gohan. Give me all you got. And Gohan has to punch his hand. And then he says, no, like, go hard. Like, really, give me all you got. And he does. I was going to say, my favorite part was Gohan has, like, Gohan's on his Sigma male Patrick Bateman shit this episode, bro. Because Chi-Chi's like, you're not going. And he's like, I'm going. And that's it.
I have a second favorite moment, Dotto.
Okay, go ahead.
When he's doing his shit, and then Chi-Chi walks up on the roof of the hospital, and he grabs his book super last minute to look like he's been studying the entire time.
That was funny. Gohan was like working out. He was doing a little workout on the roof of the hospital. Chi-Chi comes up. He's looking for him. He's like, Gohan. And she opens the door, bro, masterfully on reading his book. I haven't seen form like that since I hid the DS under my pillow, bro. That was crazy.
Bro said DS. That's wow. That's the difference in our age gap. By the time a DS was out, I wasn't having to hide that shit. You know what I mean? Mine was a Game Boy.
No, I look, man. Sometimes I want to fit in with the jet. Mine was also. Oh, actually, I'm not gonna. Maybe my mom was just strict, bro. Because I also did have to hide a DS. But it started with Pokemon Emerald Game Boy, and then I was also. I was like, now that I'm thinking about it, I was pretty old for her to be caring about that.
I was too. My mom was strict as shit. So I'm kind of teasing. I just never had a DS. Let me just be totally upfront. I never had a DS.
Come on, man. Great system.
Yeah.
Pokemon Ranger?
Yeah. Come on, man. I don't know nothing about no Pokemon Spectrums? DS games except for Black. I played Black because I finally got my own job and I bought a DSi and I played Pokemon Black. But then I only put probably like 20 hours in that game, which is not much in a Pokemon game. And so I don't remember like anything about it. But I think I went with the Leaf. I think I went with the Leaf one on that one. Who's the Leaf one for Black? Do you remember?
I do, but I don't remember their baby name. It's like Superior, but it's like a snake, right? It's like a man, what is their
baby? Snivy or Snivy?
Snivy.
Yeah, and Oshawott were the starters for Black. And then I won a 3DS. I think we talked about this on the pod, and we definitely talked about it in the video if we not. But I won a 3DS out of a keyhole machine.
What? I don't remember this. That's great. That's a big hit.
Yeah, yeah. I was on my honeymoon, and we went to an arcade that was just like right there by the hotel we were staying at, or we were actually staying at a bed and breakfast. It was so sick.
That was probably the best thing that happened to you that week.
Dude, you know what? I was like on cloud nine because obviously I'm like on my honeymoon with my like I'm like newlywed, and then we go into this arcade shop. I love those keyhole machines, bro. I love those like any type of gambler. Like that, like hell yeah, brother. And
I'm upset, bro. It's literally I know, bro. It's like damn, I can't stop winning, bro. I can't stop winning.
straight up, dude. And that I couldn't believe that. I was like, wait, is it actually? And like my wife, of course, you know, she's like, you're wasting money. Like they're rigged, and they are rigged. But like,
oh damn, that was a massive L time to say that. For any other time, she would have been 100% correct. But now. I mean, she's cooked for the rest of her life. She has to live with the fact that anytime you pass a key machine, you're opening that shit.
100%. And it went all, you know, the machines I'm talking about too, right? Where you like have to get,
line
the key and it goes into the keyhole and then the thing drops. Yeah. And it got it into the fight 3DS one, bro. And it came with Dream Team. It was actually the Dream Team special edition 3DS. Like the Mario and Luigi games. And then I remember because we won and I'd been wanting to try out, this was at the time Pokemon X and Y came out. We went to a Best Buy that was around the corner and I bought Pokemon. It's whichever one that the red one is on.
Why?
Is that why?
Yeah.
So yeah, I bought. Yep. I have no idea what that Pokemon's called. I ended up not playing that much.
Yveltal. I didn't really like that one either. I will say though, the reason I know what you're talking about is because Japan gambling riddled place. Japan loves gambling. Japan loves gambling for a place that's not about gambling. So every time I go into, and I'm okay doing this because let me get off my soapbox. I'm addicted to gambling. I'll do it anyway. But my favorite place to do it is at this arcade that I really like, and they have a wall of stuff. And every time I go, it's like fucking $10 over there too. It's expensive. If you want to play on the high roller machine, which I'm going to play on the high roller machine, bro. So I put my $10 in every time I get a fucking keychain, man. God damn it. I've never once won one of those things. See, you're saying you couldn't stop winning. I know. You're saying you could stop. I unironically think I would treat winning one of those machines like winning the fucking lottery. I would never not talk about that. I would bring it up every time. Every time I passed one, I would say, you know, I won the max prize in that once. Now you got me hyped up. Now I just want to fucking buy a $10 key, see what I get. This is what CSGO loot boxes also did to me. Anywho. Man, we can't talk about Dragon Ball Z longer than 3 seconds in this shit. Anyway, the episode was pretty basic, though. Let's be honest. Like, Chi-Chi... Yeah,
I enjoyed look,
this,
it, though.
Okay, you know what? You know what? Maybe the reason I... Can I be sexist for one moment? Maybe the reason I liked Gohan being on his Sigma male arc is because the women were kind of tripping this episode. I ain't even gonna lie. It was a bad showing for women this episode. Chi-Chi's more understandable, but Bulma was in a bad mood the whole time.
It made no sense. It made absolute. I was like, why are they making her be angry? Like, did we miss something?
Unless we missed something. But like, and it wasn't even like responsibility. Anytime somebody was like, Bulma, can you do this? She was actually like happy. She was like, yeah, give me 10 days. I can probably do it in 10 days. That was like reprogram learning a language, by the way. There was Bulma feats this episode. I know yes. We count those. So Bulma learns and programs a language with the help of Mr. Popo in 10 days. Also, we saw Dr. Briefs, Bulma's father, for the first time, and his cat. He's going to be a bigger character. But they're working on the Namekian spaceship. They're getting out of there. And then, for some reason, Bulma's just fucking pissed off. She's wearing a spacesuit that doesn't fucking matter.
Yeah, she changes out of that thing like literally 5 minutes.
Cool outfit, though. I do like the Toriyama art with that spaceship, the spacesuit. But come on, man. Like Nano said, do we miss something? Or, like, she got on, they had all their luggage. She's like, we're going.
Dotto, maybe we're being typical men right now, dude. We have no idea why she's upset.
I was going to say, this could just be a certified trademark man moment. But I literally have no idea she was angry.
But here's the thing. She gets, so they launch off. Everyone's all happy-go-lucky. They're, we're boarding the Namekian ship, all that. Then they launch off, and then all of a sudden she's pissed. She's like, starts going, and then all Gohan shit, like, flies everywhere. And then on the final shot we see of all of them, she's happy all of a sudden. Like, what?
Yeah. What? She literally throws Gohan shit everywhere.
Then tells him to clean it up.
Doesn't let him get in the seat. And this whole thing could be played for humor, but she's definitely mad. Like, she's acted as mad. She's like, all right, we're here. Let's clean this shit up. I'm going to go change. It's like, what the fuck? It's like, you fucking made the mess. What the hell? She tells Krillin he should have been with the luggage. And then she changes and she comes out. It's like, I'm fucking sick of your shit, Krillin. So we're going to have some new fucking rules from this day on. It's like, what happened? Like, did we miss an episode? Like, maybe we missed an episode. Like,
yeah. Yeah, there's like some in-between shit that we just did not see.
I don't know if they're actually going to go into it or if this is just like a weird, like...
I think this is just a weird one.
Maybe she's
thing.
Like, maybe it's supposed to be like she's so determined she doesn't care, but it's more played like she actively is upset with Krillin and or Gohan, or both. Like, even Gohan, who is 6, is getting a lot of the brunt of this. His luggage is thrown everywhere. I also do think it's funny because Gohan does have a line when he's telling Chi-Chi to shut up and that he's going. He's like... Chi-Chi's like, being a kid's the best part of life. You got to be a kid. And he's like, I ain't got time to be childish games no more. That guy is literally 6. Like, he is still a, like, not only is he a kid, I would describe him as a baby. Like, he is he's baby-esque, bro. I don't got time to be a kid no more. I got to go help my friends. He's cooked, bro. Like, he's going to need years of therapy. But that's pretty much the episode.
Yeah, I genuinely think we just hit every single note. You want to hit us with some differences here?
Well, actually, no, because we did miss one important moment.
Oh.
Krillin and Bulma are both fitted up for this trip, and then Chi-Chi drops a bit of child abuse on us, and Gohan pops out of the car in the most atrocious fit of all time.
You said you liked it. Was that a joke?
No, I actually do. I do like it. He looks like a sailor, which I think the aesthetic's kind of cool. I don't think it's for a mission. Like, imagine like if him fighting, he's not fighting Raccoon in this, bro. Like, there's no way. He's in like a schoolboy fit, but he did bring his own set of Piccolo clothes. That was it. That was the one last thing. And Chi-Chi was wearing like a green costume.
Oh, this is one of some Krillin's good costumes, best fits, by the way. This is easily one of Krillin's best fits.
The green and yellow jacket with the Krillin hat.
Yes.
Okay. Easily. All right. All right. He does have an aesthetic to it. Hopefully he gets into his gi soon. We gotta suit up for fake Namek here. But that's it. Let's go into the differences, man. Let's get this hour 40-minute podcast over with. Let's go to the differences from the... There's a new thing I'm gonna do in every podcast where I say differences from the manga. Gohan leaving his room to train outside of the hospital, leaving a worried Chi-Chi to search for him, is exclusive to the anime. I actually kind of like that because that shows a determined Gohan right there. He's ready. Goku testing Gohan's strength to see if he's ready is also exclusive in the anime.
No!
I like that too. That was also good. In the anime, Dr. Brief working on the spaceship with Bulma is shown at the start of the episode preceding the events of the hospital. In the manga, however, it's the other way around.
Oh, I thought I was like, I feel like that does need to be shown because how else are they using this Namekian ship?
Yeah, so honestly... you know, the episode's not going to get scored that highly for me, but WWW at the end, man, I like every change here. A brief one's barely a change. So that's almost like a neutral. But the Gohan training and the Gohan and Goku moment, you know, big up. I like that stuff. That me, like, literally, I think it's weird. Like, we did not read this one ahead. No spoilers this time. But me and Nano picked both of those moments out as our favorite of the episode separately.
Yeah, that's funny.
I would. So, good stuff anime.
Any trivia?
There's one good one here. A character very similar to Konkichi, the troublemaking fox from Dr. Slump, appears in this episode. He's a little green fox.
Oh, okay.
Oh, and I brought this one up on the Patreon or YouTube member. Chi-Chi, when scolding Gohan, I knew this counted, sarcastically mentions him wanting to be a superhero. Coincidentally, he does become a superhero later in the series. Superhero foreshadowing. It's also foreshadowing the movie, so let's not forget that.
Yeah, that's even crazier, right?
Yes. And then at the very end, it's just the same one from last week. 15 seconds of this week's preview was dedicated to the world's strongest movie, lottery drawing. So barely entertaining, if we're being honest. Barely entertaining trivia on that last one, but the first two were rather nice.
Now, Dotto, I did look ahead because I got curious, and I wanted to mention this here before we give our scores. I wanted to see when we should, in terms of actual when it was like airing in Japan, watch Tree of Might and Lord Slug.
Yep.
I thought we were at Tree of Might because technically the events of Tree of Might take place obviously before they go to Namek.
Yeah.
But apparently Tree of Might didn't air until between episodes 54 and 55. So we are a little ways off from that one. Slug, we are very way off of, because Slug you're supposed to watch between episodes 80 and 81.
Ooh.
So that one is a ways away, but I think, do you think Slug starts using American ass OSTs with the
I hope so, man. That'd be so sick.
Or is that Cooler? Because Cooler does, because I rewatched Cooler about 2 years ago for the Dokkan celebration, and Cooler has like some really good like AMV ass music. I don't know. I guess we'll find out soon enough. Dotto, it is time to give our ratings for the episodes. Last week for Plans for Departure, you gave it a 4. I gave it a 5. And I think I only raised it to a 5 because everything ended up being canon. But I won't lie, as we talked about, again, you can find in our reactions, even with the canonization of it all, I still don't know that I was the biggest fan of that episode because, cool, I guess we learned stuff, but I just don't know that I cared about some of the stuff we learned. This one, though, I kind of hate that I gave last week's a 5 is what I'll say. I'll definitely say that. I hate that I gave last week's a 5.
Yeah, because are you holding up your hand or am I?
I think I did last week, so I think it'd be you this week.
Okay, go ahead and say your score then, buddy.
I kind of hate this because
coincidental.
I do think it's better, but I'm going to go with the 5 because I just don't think this was a 6. I liked this episode, so when I look back and I'm like, man, nursing wounds, I probably won't remember this episode. But when I look back, actually, I probably will because I am not kidding. I actually do like the Gohan Goku moment. I think as a father, that was really cool. But yeah, I want to give it a 6. Do I just give it a 6 anyway? Do I just say screw it and give it a 6? You know what? I'm going to actually give it a 6. That was a pretty damn good little episode of the anime. It wasn't like insane by any means, but I'm, you know what? I won't be as harsh on this one. Something tells me a 1 is in my future soon.
I hope not. I also gave it a 5. Well, I said also because I thought you were going to say, but I gave it a 5. It was fine. It was neutral. I liked the Gohan training stuff. It was pretty boring. It wasn't like last week. Yunzabit was so fucking boring for some reason. I don't know.
That literally on principle, we've never talked about lowering scores, and I don't think we should do that. But
I mean, we can't, bro. Otherwise, that dinosaur score would be probably it would retroactively change the fate of the universe.
Yeah, no, I think part of the fun of this series that we're doing is literally like trying to score these based on the in here and now thing, which is what you talked about so much with episode 10 being a 10 for you. Also, I guess now that I'm realizing you gave episode 10 a 10 is a bit iconic as well. Yeah, it's about the here and the moment. Like a nursing wound 6 is not the same as like a Goku training arc 6. Like I don't know. Like they are a little, yeah, they got to be a little relative. And I can say that I walked away from this episode being like, oh, it's over. Versus last week learning all this cool canon shit, I was like, when is this going to be over? You know, like there was definitely different. So I can't give it the same score as last week. But I do think that if I could go back, last week would be a 4 instead of a 5. Anyway,
Otto,
I can hear it.
Oh, the music finally. Sweet Grace. Sorry we took so much of your guys' time, but it's over now. You can rest.
Guys, we appreciate you so much, and we'll see you next week.
Bye. Be free.